My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
The excellent insight coming your way now on the BetQL guest hotline of John Middlecoff. John, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Great to catch up with you. Looked forward to this conversation, as always, here in the preseason. So why don't we start with the Brandon Ayuk ongoing trade, no trade discussions. You've been opinionated and had a lot of takes on this. What do you make of what's going on right now with the Niners and Ayuk?
Well, I think it's a tough spot for both. One, I think the 49ers are tired of dealing with it, but they're not just going to trade him to trade him. You know, he's not a free agent. So he's trying to pick his destination. You know, obviously his connection with Jaden, I think it made no sense for the Commanders to do that right now, right? I mean, given where their draft picks could end up this year, it's just the first year of a rebuild with a new coach and a GM. And honestly, Adam Peters, who's going to know him pretty well, right? He's been around him his whole career, kind of a sign that, you know, let's not act like this guy's a top five wide receiver. He's a really good player. He's a winning player. But, you know, the 49ers have a number, and they're not going to budge off it, regardless where the market went. Clearly he wants to go to the Steelers, but they have nothing to give back the 49ers beside, even if they gave a first-round pick, you know, the 49ers aren't in long-term building mode. They're trying to win a Super Bowl this year, so that does them no good. And clearly the other two teams Ayuk didn't want to go to in the Browns and the Patriots, who were willing to pay a lot of money. So it's at this point in time, I think he's kind of stuck unless something gets crazy and he's just, you know, essentially pouting and, you know, not wanting to sign the contract that they have offered. So that's kind of where it stands right now.
How do you think it ends?
My gut would say he stays on the Niners, but, you know, who knows? I mean, I guess other teams could get involved. If this was the NBA, you'd think it'd be a three-team trade, but that never happens in the NFL. So, you know, I would lean he stays on the Niners, but this thing's been pretty weird. So at this point in time, I guess I nothing would shock me. But I think it's pretty telling that, you know, Washington didn't want it. You know, these other teams that have good deals, the 49ers aren't just going to give them away. So you have to come and probably, quote-unquote, overpay them as well as Ayuk. So it's just one of these spots that's a standstill. And I just, you know, these teams, every team's semi-optimistic at this point in time. So teams are more likely to overpay in March during free agency or around the draft than they are right now.
John Middlecoff, three and out with us here on Grant and Danny. It sounds like then, to go back, you have no issue with Washington's modified or lack of interest.
No. To me, the Patriots should have been the same thing. Like, you just get a new quarterback. You have a brand new operation. How about everyone just take a deep breath? There's no pressure. I'm sure we'll get into the hype on Jaden Daniels, and it's pretty high right now, but there isn't pressure on trying to win 8-9 games and compete for a wild card spot. If it happens, awesome. But if you end up winning 4 or 5 games, that's not the worst thing, because you can use those assets to continue to build around the young quarterback. I think what we saw last year in Houston is a pretty big outlier situation, kind of came out of nowhere. There's most teams, when they kind of hit the reset button, you know, it takes them, I don't know, 18 months to kind of build up their roster. So I think anytime that you, if that pick ends up in the top 10, even if Washington was just offering a second and a third rounder, let's say, you need those picks. I mean, that's where you get the DK Metcalfs, the Deebo Samuels, the Fred Warners, and Adam Peters, I'd say, knows that better than anyone, right? So it's not just, you know, it's awesome top 10 picks. You get the Jaden Daniels, you get the Nick Bosa's. But those other picks, when you're trying to build from scratch, I don't know, you're not building from scratch, but start over, are really, really valuable.
That's really well said. I mean, the only argument I would make for going after him, because I'm in that camp with you, sounds like I'm in lockstep, where it just feels like the timing isn't quite right. But I do believe in the greatest value in Jaden Daniels and in a young quarterback is the contract for the next 4+ years. And after 4 years, there's a raise, and after 5, you pay him. So I do kind of view it already like the hourglass has been flipped to some extent. The sooner you can start to bring in some of these weapons, the better. And if they're better off for a season working together next year when he's a sophomore, rather than trading for Stephon Diggs this offseason for C.J. Stroud, let's say, then so be it. Because the greatest element of having Jaden Daniels or having a young quarterback on a rookie deal is that short time before he gets paid that you got to win in.
I agree, but you know, you don't know how it's going to play out. Now, if you start out and you're 4-4 and you're in the mix, I don't know exactly the trade deadline, but let's just pick it's after week 8.
The Halloween-ish, then maybe I think, you can,
yeah, then maybe you can pull the trigger and trade for a guy midseason. But to do that before you really have any information, to me, can be a little reckless, because, you know, you guys draft Newton, right, in the second round. Well, what if he, you know, what if next year you get a similar guy at a different position, and then you have a bunch of building blocks, and then you use that money, that cap space, in the offseason as a free agent where you're not giving up draft picks. The other thing is, it's not just the rookie contract, right? Obviously, that's a huge benefit, like you said. But even if, best case scenario, this guy becomes a top 12 quarterback that you feel no hesitation giving that big contract to in 3 or 4 years, the cap number still stays low for probably the next 4 years and then another 2 years after that. So you do have a lot of room. But I think making – I wouldn't call it reckless, because Ayuk is a good player. I think sometimes we got to take a deep breath and kind of just see where we're at. Because you would agree, if you trade for Ayuk and then you start 2-5, it doesn't quite feel the same if you had to give up a second and a third round pick to acquire him, right?
Totally. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, now you're starting to go, uh-oh. I mean, that you need all of those picks to rebuild this thing. There's no doubt. John Middleton.
And the reality is, even if you're the Niners, right, and Washington was offering you their 2 and their 3. I'm assuming they have those picks next year. But those picks, which let's just say that Washington wins 4 games and both those picks are really high in both rounds, it does them no good this year. And that's why I think, you know, Washington probably wasn't a fit, unless maybe they were going to give one of those young D tackles or something. But even then, you know, the Steelers are in the same boat, right? They don't have a player to give back that the Niners would want. And even if they give a first-round pick, which for having 2 first-round picks is, and you know, I mean, you talk about this stuff for a living, is incredible in February and March and April. But when you're a good team, it does nothing for you in August and September.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Yeah, and this is a team that is, by the numbers, the oldest in the NFL. They've been in four straight conference championship games. They've been in multiple Super Bowls in that window, and they got to go. I mean, they've got to win right now, so unless you're able to give them something that helps with those picks, it probably isn't a fit for them. Former NFL scout John Middlecoff is with us here on Grant and Danny today on The Fan. John, I want to talk Jaden Daniels for a moment. I mean, when you were on the team side, or even now in the media, what's your take on camp hype? Because he has been so impressive. It's been immensely optimistic, as well as it should, coming out of these practices. He looks like the real deal. But I'm a little cautious to really start throwing a parade just yet. We had Jay Gruden in studio a couple days ago, and he said, until I see him playing a game where he's able to be tackled, it's just not the same. Where are you at? Because it's better to have these headlines than the opposite. I'll say that.
100%. I think there's two type of hypes, right, when it comes to a rookie class. When a guy is a later round pick, like let's use Joe Milton, for example, the quarterback last night for the Patriots, and there's a bunch of hype behind it, I have no problem with going, let's just take a deep breath here. But when it comes to Caleb, when it comes to C.J. Stroud, when it comes to Jaden, we saw these guys at the highest level in college. So to me, there's substance behind it. And then there's one thing if, you know, kind of anonymous people are talking. It's another thing if these players are saying that. So, right, what Zach Ertz say within the last week, stop calling him a good quarterback, or he's going to be a good quarterback, he's good right now, and then Sauce saying that, I have no problem with anyone being really, really excited, because last year he throws an incredible deep ball, right? He's become very poised and accurate. He's obviously a great playmaker. I think the one concerning part, which is impossible to really learn during the preseason, that you only know during the regular season, and this gives me great concern, is to me there are two type of runners. And, you know, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson are good examples. They have like an innate feel to not take big hits, right? They just kind of avoid it. Frank Gore as a running back was great at this. That's why he played for like 50 years, because he didn't take big shots. And then when I was in the NFL, I was around Michael Vick, he didn't have a great feel for that. And listen, at this point in time, no one's questioning guys' toughness, but this isn't 1996, so like Steve Atwater and John Lynch might not be taking guys out across the middle, but you still get hit really hard. And these linebackers might not be 260 pounds, but they're 235, 240 pounds, and they run a lot faster. So the collisions are still really big. And that's one thing I'm sure they've been harping on, because he's going to take off, right? Your offensive line is probably one of the bigger question marks on the team, and can he avoid those hits? And we're not looking to try to be a hero and show you're tough. Like, we get it. Like, but you've got to get out of bounds. You've got to learn to slide, because that would be an area in which we saw last year with Anthony Richardson, who was just taking some huge hits and knocked him out for the season. And I think it's fair to say that if Jaden were to get injured, you guys aren't winning any games with Marcus Mariota. So any hope of being competitive rides on him. And it's hard. You just never know till you start playing the games. But obviously from a passing standpoint, everyone should be pretty bullish. Then I also fall into the category, and Caleb as well. And you saw a little bit in that Hard Knocks. Like, this stuff's hard. You know, this is really, really difficult. And in training camp, you're just really focusing on yourselves. In the games, you're focused on yourself, but you're also focused on these defensive schemes that you have no clue what's coming. Where in practice, you start learning your own defense. And then even the preseason games, I don't know if they've announced if Jaden's going to play at all in the preseason, but I'm sure he'll play a little bit, in that it's pretty vanilla. So how, as the season goes on, you deal with them just throwing you different stuff, like any human being, whatever you do, you get better with experience. So it could be a little rockier, even though the hype is justified. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. John Middlecoff is with us. Another of the storylines you've been monitoring over on 3 and Out that I've enjoyed. There was this weird story that came out. I feel like the Eagles lead the league in this over the last few years. Like fractures between quarterback and coach, which tells me that something at the higher level, I don't know if that's Howie or ownership or what, kind of allows this to happen. Because we saw that here in D.C. for a long time when Snyder would get real close with the players and cut out the coaches. And it was just a toxic thing. But you've been talking a lot about this report about Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and things going sideways last year. Have they patched it up? Where are you on the Eagles coming into this season?
Well, I think it's twofold, right? Like, I think we all question, what does Sirianni do? He doesn't call the plays. And then, I think it's pretty fair to take that report as face value. A bunch of other people have chimed in and say all this stuff is true. Is that when your quarterback doesn't respect your head coach for schematic acumen, I think we got problems. And then it also falls under Jalen, who,
real quick,
you know,
was
Russell
that
Wilson
the issue? Because a lot of my listeners may not even have seen this, but that was the deal, right? Jalen basically, Hurts had questions about Sirianni and the way they were running things, right?
Yeah, from a schematic standpoint.
Yeah, okay.
And didn't think he was, you know, new enough. And then from Jalen, it felt a little Russell Wilson, Seattle-like. He wanted to become more Peyton Manning or Tom Brady in the pocket instead of doing what made him awesome, which was this dual threat player. And I think you get problems when the quarterback wants to kind of change who he is. I mean, Lamar has adapted over time, but his running is still a huge threat. He's obviously improved a lot, I would say, behind the line of scrimmage throwing, but I don't view him as someone that morphed into some different player. And Jalen tried to morph into a different player, and down the stretch, I mean, obviously the defense was, you know, they couldn't cover me or you, but was just turning the ball over at a pretty high rate. So, you know, you figure that out. One thing the Eagles are good at is, and, you know, now you guys got a new owner, you'll do the same, is the owner will pay big money for coordinators and position coaches. And Vic Fangio is obviously a stud. And Kellen, I think he became polarizing partly because he was in Dallas, but he's pretty good. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He was a coach's kid. He's one of the better college players in recent memory because he was like a coach on the field. It's not like he was that talented. Played for Chris Peterson. So I think that should be a big upgrade. Eagles, you never know because there's always some drama, but I think we'd all have to agree their roster, top to bottom, is pretty unreal relative to most of the NFC, right?
Yeah, I would say that makes sense. Who you got winning the division? Do you got Dallas overtaking Philly?
Yeah,
or didn't they get their act
together? This is where I fall. I lean the Eagles. I just think they're more talented than Dallas. But I'm also not doom and gloom with Dallas. You know, they take a lot of crap. But let's face it, Jerry's drafted pretty darn well over the last 15 years, right? And I can never complain about drafting offensive linemen early. So I have a hard time thinking they'll just sink. And the playoff game was bad. But let's face it, Mike's been pretty good these last 3 years. I mean, they've won a lot of regular season games. And what did he do last year? He's like, I'll take over the play calling. Well, what happened? Dak and the offense was awesome. So unlike Sirianni, Mike's also polarizing, but he's kind of proven two things. One, he consistently wins in the regular season. And two, he can call plays. And he did it with Aaron Rodgers. So I think both those two teams are playoff teams. Then I think the question is, are you guys in Washington – you know, the sexy story and end up winning 7-8 games and really competitive? Or is it truly kind of a reset year, some ups and downs, more like a 5-6 win team, but a lot of promise? And then the Giants, which their D-line's good. Neighbors obviously has a chance to be a freak, but is a quarterback any good? Is their offensive flow going to be terrible? So to me, those two teams are kind of unknown. One of them could shock. Like, if Daniel Jones is just solid because of their defense, maybe they're a 8-win team. Maybe they're a 9-win team. You guys, if Jaden is the offensive rookie of the year, maybe you win, you know, 8-ish games. But those are pretty big ifs and unknowns with just the quarterback position, which, let's face it, kind of can make or break your team. You can have a terrible defense, and if your quarterback's awesome, you're pretty competitive, right, on a weekly basis.
John, I love talking ball with you. Always awesome. Continue the great work over at 3 and Out with the Volume. Thank you for the time today. We really appreciate it.
How many wins are you thinking for Washington?
I've got them at 7, I think. And if you told me they either won, like, you know, 9 or 5, I think they could surprise people, honestly. It's all about Jaden. I don't think their line's as bad as people think. If you look at the metrics, PFF and otherwise, last year. Where I'm really concerned is their corners, their secondary. I think they're going to have problems there.
Yeah, I was looking at the depth chart. It doesn't exactly look like Darrell Revis and Deion Sanders back there.
No, but I think they're probably a 7-win team. What's interesting about them, though, and you know this from studying how their offseason went, like, they went out and got a lot of help for right now to set the culture for Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, but it's a lot of one-year deals. It's guys like, you know, Bobby Wagner coming in here as rentals, or Eckler on a couple-of-year deal. So it's not like if they do go 7-8 wins this year, it's not like it's the first of a couple. Like, they're going to have to reset and maybe be more aggressive and go get some real younger stars next year. But I think they wanted to just elevate the floor in this first year, if that makes sense.
And to me, that's why the draft picks not trading for Ayuk is so important, just because there's so much unknown, at least as of today. Maybe that changes late October, you know?
Makes a lot of sense, yeah. And I really think they're doing the right thing. I love weapons for a young QB, and I think the more you have, the better. But it's a big cost for a guy that's I think right now we're talking more about Ayuk than we ever have. He's a good player. I just don't know if he's $30 million a year plus a, you know, Jahan Dotson plus 2 draft picks. Good.
Yeah, this feels like we're talking about, you know, when Devontae and Tyreek Hill were on the block, and
exactly.
That's just not the case.
Yeah, this is not the same as those. Good catching up, man. Keep up the great work.
Take it easy. Have a good weekend.
Be good. There's John Middlecoff. Really, really fun catching up with him on G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.